You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Devin, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you got for us today?
In his mid-30s, a man either reaches out towards risk and glory or stays within the routines of the expected and ordinary. It is the age when men leave safe homes and jobs and go on voyages and odysseys and perform transforming sacrifices. It's the age when Walt Whitman wrote Leaves of Grass and Columbus started planning his voyage to the Indies. It's an age at which visionaries become prophets or explorers or inventors. Or make fools of themselves trying.
I like that one. I like.
So all you people in your 30s, get your ass moving.
Or not. Or that's when you decide not to. You just stay in the safe harbor.
Or at least make yourself a fool. At least try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Give it a shot.
At least do something.
Right, yeah. When you're in your 20s, you're like getting ready. You're doing your education. You're like having the last hurrah of your youth and your childhood. And then you hit 30 and you're like, all right, time to put the pedal to the metal and get this thing going.
Right. I feel like your 30s now, you have you have the tools, or you should have.
Right.
Them.
Yeah.
So it's you're a big boy now. Get to work and doing something cool. I think I took that from, actually, I took it from another podcast. I was listening to the Bear Grease podcast, mm-hmm. and that comes from an author named Robert Morgan. He wrote Boone about Daniel Boone, and also Daniel Boone did a lot of his stuff that he's known for in his 30s.
Right.
So it's always those quotes like that always get you going, but it's also a little bit of a, you can only do so much, right? You got families and stuff, but you have to try to do something. There has to be something to push forward to and get through and some excitement. 'Cause I think there's a lot of, danger in only living vicariously through others, which we all do on like YouTube and podcasts. We're constantly watching these other people do greater things.
Yep.
I think, and it's fun and it's exciting to taste that, but it's obviously nothing like actually doing it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I think, maybe your 30s are your safe time to have, a midlife crisis. It's when you're supposed to have a midlife crisis and not in your mid years, you know, or maybe like,
right.
'Cause in my mind, a midlife crisis is like you hit 40 or 45 or 50 and you're like, I haven't done anything yet, you know, or like, right. I haven't gotten this thing that I always thought I would have. Right. You know, and then that's when people, right. buy the cars or they, you know, I don't know, quit their job and try something new, you know, but then at that point it's like looked down upon because, well, you're midlife, you're old. You're like, what are you doing something,
right.
crazy now?
What are you doing? Yeah, go home, old man. What are you,
right.
doing?
And your 30s are when you're like supposed to have that time, you know, ideally, I guess,
right.
or maybe that's the mindset. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, as someone who's 38, getting to the end of my 30s, you know, I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still feel like I'm in the beginning of my adult life. You know, I don't feel like I'm obviously in my 20s, but I'm also, you know, a fairly young father. I have a 12-year-old daughter. Yeah, you know? So it's like she's not grown. She's not out of the house yet. So I'm still in the, like, the beginning stages of being a father. I'm, like, you know, in a career as a teacher that I'm still kind of in the beginning stages of. Like, it's, I haven't been in it for 15 years or something, you know, where you feel like you're in the middle. Right. One thing, though, I do think that, like, as YouTubers and content creators, we're kind of in that early adulthood stages, as in, like, we've gotten through the beginning, through, like, the teenage years and the struggle of, like, what do you do, is it worth it or not, and we've gotten to the point where now we're in a position where we can comfortably say that it has started to work and could continue to work as long as we put in the right amount of work and effort, you know. So it's like, then you're kind of in that middle, you kind of keep pushing and moving and trying to keep getting, you know, pushing for success and keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
so maybe we're in our 30s of the YouTube.
There's always more we can. There's always more we can do. There's we can do a lot more on the channel. We should be doing a lot more, and that's just, it's just we're so busy, but we have to keep pushing. Like, this is no means like me just telling other people to, hey, go out and do something like we are, like, right, oh, cool, make a YouTube channel.
Right.
No, we need to do it. Right. We need the kick in the ass, just like everybody else. Right. And if you don't have anything, I will say that all this stuff has been nice, a nice creative outlet. And that is a good push to have something that, you know, people are watching, and it's fun to interact with people. And so this is a start, but we have to keep pushing, you and I, and there's things we've talked about that we've done some of it, and some of it we haven't even touched. Right. So we just know we hit the push, and I don't know. It was just a fun thing. And, you know, so what if you're old too, and you don't do all the crazy adventurous stuff? There's also there's great, some people work, man. A lot of people just have to work and support their family, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
But you should, you know, it's,
yeah, it's, that's your time to take that chance, you know. do something fun, do something crazy, try something that you wouldn't have, like, tried 10 years ago, or something that you might, if you don't try it now, it might never happen. And maybe a piece of that is your midlife crisis, but maybe, you know, you don't want it to be just a piece of it. Maybe you want it to be a full thing. Like, maybe you want to hike the Appalachian Trail, or maybe you want to, you know, spend some money on a cool car and have that so you can enjoy it. Maybe you want to, you know, start a family, and, like, really, like, that can be, you know, your goal. Like, I also, when I was talking last week on the podcast, that is one of the things I talked about, is, like, also, excuse me, being, you know, striving to do better and striving to push yourself, but also being content with the things that you can do, and try not to push yourself past your limit. Now where that limit is, like, you want to push against that limit, but sometimes you have to think, okay, well, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm pushing, like, do I have to push more? Is it absolutely necessary? Or can I be content with, like, the speed and the progress that I'm pushing forward on? So, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, we'll go through lulls of growth in the channel, and then I'm like, well, what can we do? We got to do more. I'm like, well, you know, we're both working full time. We're both husbands. We're both fathers. You know, we have, like, these other things that we're doing. Yeah. We have lives, and we're still doing this. Like, we're pushing pretty good for what we're doing. You know, like, yeah, we want to grow, but, you know, how hard is too hard? You know, like, how, but it, yeah, yeah,
no. So. Understand, but there's a lot more we can do, and even if both of us spent if we both wrote in our, like, okay, we're going to spend an extra 15 minutes a day,
right,
sending out emails and doing things and planning, we could get a lot more done. Right. Yeah. And that will hopefully, that those little bits every day lead to the adventure you want to have, lead to the really cool thing. Cause yeah, I mean, I love all this stuff. I love watching Anthony Bourdain and travel shows, and I love watching Meat Eater and Tested, and seeing these people go all over the place and do things, try things. And it's, it's just it's just a taste.
Right.
You gotta try and get there and do it.
Yeah.
And not that our channel necessarily is the our pathway to things like that, but we should give it a shot.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good quote. I think that's just kind of a like a reality check that, you know, if you want to do great things in life, you got to do them. You know, like you can't just want to do them. You can't just watch, like you said, you can't just watch other people do them. And we have all these avenues to do that now. We can live vicariously through
right,
other people
right.
very easily.
Yeah.
You know, and so
it's like do it. you can kind of scratch the itch, which is nice.
Right.
It's cool. Like you can see all the stuff in 4K and watch people, and you can, like, if you were trying to, I wonder what it's like to, you know, live in Japan or something like that. You can go on YouTube and find someone and follow their whole life, what it's like.
Yep.
And, like, go on walks with them and see. Or, I wonder what it's like to travel here and there. And that's great, the itch, but you can't really get at it. Right. You can't get to where I think we all need to try to get, and is to try to be in it.
Yeah, and not that my trip to Acadia was like a big push or anything, but I feel like, you know, getting that chance to go up and like see these sites that have been that are pretty world famous with you know, Mount Desert Island and Acadia being up there, and like sitting on the giant rocks and watching the water and all the, you know, lobster boats and the cool coves and stuff, and that was pretty cool. I was like, wow, this is a pretty big trip, like a pretty significant event.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that a lot of people hear about or think about, but actually going up and doing it, like, that was pretty cool, you know. And I felt
right, like, it's always
thing, right, you know, I got to stand there and do it, you know. It was like pictures.
And you're a little bit of it too, me thinking like I gotta do more stuff, because you guys take all types of great little trips. You make a concerted effort to get out and do things and go on trips. And that's, and I'm, you know, me and my wife aren't really at that point necessarily, because we have a baby a new puppy. So there's a lot of things that we just can't in the pandemic. It's just hard to get out, but we got to keep trying and pushing, and that's it. So, you know, get your ass kicked, everybody, and let's all get moving and let's do some fun stuff. And so I listened to a little bit of your, Dustin O'Hara podcast, but I only listened to like a couple minutes. Actually, I was more interested in what quote, or if you I was like, yeah, let me just listen. I was driving to work, so I pulled it out. So how'd that go?
It was fine. I mean, did you like it? No, it was okay. I was talking to Nicole. I was talking to my wife afterward about it, and saying how, I think, what was it? It was like in reference to her, she had to record. She's in grad classes right now. She's getting her master's in library science, and so she had to record herself for like a minute talking about something, and she, you know, she was saying how weird it was to record herself, and I had just had basically the like experience of talking to myself for, you know, 50 minutes or whatever it was, almost an hour, and I had the realization that when I'm talking on the podcast or when we're recording for the channel, like, I don't feel like I'm talking to myself. Like, I feel like I'm talking to everyone who's out there, because I know that people are listening and I know that people are watching. Yeah. So although in the moment it's not live, but I know that there's an audience, right? So although I can't see the audience, I know that they're there, whether that's like right in the moment or in the future. So it's a weird thing to be like talking to yourself, but you're not really talking to yourself. Like, literally I was talking to myself, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm talking to the people that are listening.
Right.
And I had that mindset.
Yeah,
so although I was like having a conversation, I had to keep going on my own. And I was mentioning how like, I couldn't like eat Skittles or I couldn't drink my beer. Right.
Oh, because I'm like, I did hear that part.
Just had to keep on talking, which is fine. But, having, I don't know. I kind of, you know, I gave myself some points and then some things to talk about. Just kind of kept on going with it. But yeah, it was.
But
it was
weird. You also, you have, I mean, you have experience with that, obviously, with the channel.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you're talking to me, but you're used to just, you know, speaking your feelings,
right,
talking about loud. Yeah. like explaining what you're doing or trying to figure out a way to explain yourself. Right.
And also, but yeah, also being a teacher, you know, I'm used to doing, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. not that I lecture right. all the time, but I am used to like talking and explaining a thing for a while and going over it and then making sure everyone's like paying attention, understands, you know, so that like, you know, having to talk to, you know, an audience for a certain amount of time is not something that's brand new to me, but recording the podcast on my own was different, but, it was kind of weird, but it was cool. I think it was all right. It's obviously I prefer having two people. It's nice to have a conversation to break it up a little bit and to get your right. point of view, right? Because that's the other thing. We feed off of each other, right? So I will say something mm-hmm. and you'll say something, it'll give me an idea, and then we go back and forth. And that's why usually we're like right. talking, then we look up and it's been an hour and 40 minutes, you know, because we're having a conversation. So it goes back and forth and it kind of moves organically, you know. So doing it by myself, I just had some key points written down, like I always do anyway, but so I knew I wanted to hit some stuff. The one thing I wasn't like confident about or wasn't sure about, and I haven't gone back and listened to it, so I'm not sure how well it was, but like how cohesive the whole thing was. So was I like revisiting points that I had already made before, or was it like did it move slow? I mean, did it move like, you know, comfortably from one point to the next and like make a cohesive, you know, conversation? And like, not that I was worried about it, but you know, that's one of those things that like, did I just ramble on and on about the same thing and from different points of view? I don't think so, but
right. honestly,
I haven't got a lot of feedback from it. I got a little bit, but that's okay.
It was good enough.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Speaking of doing things alone, I had to finish the projector box on my own, or to a degree I was going to take it home and do all the hardware. Right.
Yeah.
Attach the stuff, but it just didn't work out with time, and
right.
I was going to have to come back over anyway to do some certain bits, and so I came back over and we just plowed through with putting the hardware on. And
oh, that's right, yeah, we shot all the hardware, and like,
so we did do the hardware and like we kept going,
yeah,
right. But then I took it home and I did the paint job, which I don't know about spray paint. We probably should have done it. Spray paint's always exactly what I think it's going to be.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're never blown away by the result.
Right.
And it always takes more spray paint than you think it will, yeah, or at least in right, my, you yeah. know. You always think you can get away with one can, but you probably need three. Like, it's like,
yeah.
It never looks as good. It never covers up as much. It is what it is, but... So what I did was we wanted a design on the side of it.
Right.
And we weren't sure. We were thinking, well, the thought was my wife got the new Cricut thing.
Yeah.
It cuts out vinyl and paper and stuff, and you can do crafts and stuff with it. And we're doing our daughter's first birthday party, all the crafts and all the things hanging and yada, 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 which it really comes in handy for that. But I was like, look, I can cut out any design. We'll stick it on the side, and I'll spray paint, peel that off, and it'll, you know,
yeah,
something cool.
Yeah, do it.
So that was nice, and
mask.
It's kind of pain. It's a pain in the ass because they make you subscribe to like the Cricut Design Suite or Space or whatever they call it.
Use the program,
which kind of sucks. It's like whatever, $5 or $10 a month. Like, really, I hate that. Everything's subscription.
Yeah.
Everything's subscription based now.
Yeah.
And everything wants you to be online the whole time when you're right. using it. Like, you can't just take the equipment and use it.
Yeah.
Like a tool. Yeah. Like it should be. It's a tool.
Right, exactly.
It's not a social network. Like, anyway. But at least they let you pull images from wherever.
Right.
Because their images are limited. Like, they're pretty corny, some of it. So I pulled off real images, silhouette shots of different types of film reel and projector reels.
Right.
And I got two ones I really liked, got the outline, printed them out, stuck them on, and spray painted that. And I got a little bit of footage, but I just couldn't do much because my wife was at work right. and I had the baby. So I just kind of held it and shot a little bit. We might, I don't know, maybe we'll do a voiceover or something. I don't know.
Right.
But peeled them off. That was cool. And it looks pretty
good.
Yeah,
they look great. I mean, you know, from any amount of distance away, obviously, if you're up and you're examining it perfectly, like, yeah, there may be little oversprays and stuff. But I mean, when you have that, like, an adhesive mask, Like, that's the best you can do for spray paint. You know, you, as long as your like layer isn't too thick, or you try to pull it off too soon and it's wet, you know, like, those look great.
Yeah, I mean, that the matte, the, those really turned out well, other than a little spray paint getting under line, like a little bit, or wood peeling off a little bit, but the mask was perfect. Yeah. Like the outline of it. The adhesive vinyl stuff worked great. But yeah, it looked cool, and I think it looks like a really, really good prototype.
Yeah.
Like, if we were to take that and try to sell it, we could, like, take that and say, this is what it's going to look like. We'll pretty it up a little bit, but this is, like, this is what we want. But, yeah, I got it sitting in the house now. It's awesome. It's a, if people didn't know, we were trying to do a something to keep your projector in.
Right.
Store everything, keep all the electronics in, keep your extension cord in, your screen, and then just be able to take it anywhere.
Right.
You want to take it to a friend's house, take it to the living room, take it outside, do outside movie nights.
Home that theater was the idea. Yeah, right.
Because I hadn't seen really anyone doing that. Everyone, if they have a projector outside, they either have some super amazing setup where they mount it somewhere, you know, outside, because they know.
Yeah.
We do this every weekend. Yeah. This is our thing. And they have, like, you know, they live in California, so it never rains. Right, so they have these awesome, like, outdoor theaters. Or the other videos where people just in their yard, they'd have, like, a table and a bunch of stuff and wires everywhere and a laptop setting up. Yeah. And I was, there's got to be a better way. So.
Well, I like, you mentioned, like, you know, this is a good prototype. And one of the things that, that I liked that Jimmy DiResta said in a couple different, like, podcasts as well as videos, and he may have even said it on his, on the, trailer build video that he just put out. But he said, like, you know, for the first two or three, you're like going to school, you know, it's like for the first couple, you're figuring it out, you know? And that was the one thing that we talked about, and we kind of joked about a couple of times, that there's, like, a lot of time figuring, you know, so when we're shooting a video for something that I've never made before, there's a lot of time spent figuring, you know, like, we're like, okay, well, how about, what about this? What about this? You know? And when it's something like that, that it's something for both of us, you know, we want to make sure that we're both on the same page with the design and how it's built, you know, how many shelves does it have? Does it, like, is there a cover that folds open? Does it have, like, you know, like a bread box thing that slides up so you can project it, like what it was, you know? And so we had to kind of go through the different iterations of those ideas before we came up with the one where it's basically like you have a whole top box that goes over top the whole thing and latches down to the bottom. You know, that's your cover. Right. And you pull that off and everything's inside, which I think worked pretty well. And may or may not have been the best solution, but it was a solution that worked well for what we wanted. And I also think your idea of doing, like, the decals and stuff, the decoration on the box on the inside and then leaving the outside black was nice, too, because that gives you that kind of, like, production soundstage, you know, movie set feel to it. You know, it's like a black box with, like, a metal hardware handle and stuff. And you had the idea of, like, doing some stencil, like, name or something, you know, like...
Right, that was my only thing. If we came up with a better name, maybe I would put it... How tall is the box, Dust? What, 3 feet?
It's probably 2 feet. How many? Two. Do you remember? I think it's like with the legs, it's probably right around 24 inches.
A little bit more than that, I think. It's pretty tall. I think it's maybe at knee. Oh, anyway, 2 to 3 feet. Just a little inch stencil at the bottom would be where you'd put your product logo. Just real simple.
Right,
Theater in a box, make a movie box, something like that.
Yeah, no, I think
and that would be cool in a nice font.
Yeah, no, I thought that would have been cool. Yeah, and that's something, you know, that, you know, maybe we do in the future. But and I like I said, I just kind of like that feel. It had that kind of industrial feel. Like, this is a box that, you know, you can kind of throw into, not throw, but, you know, like, you can put into a cargo truck with a bunch of other stuff and take it with you. You know, it's like a lighting box or like a, you know, film canister box or something. You know, it kind of had that feel too, which is kind of cool. And we originally had thought to put the little cop or brass corners on those kind of like protector corner things, but it was fine without it. I like what we did. It turned out pretty good. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, and then we just shot the ending. We got together and shot a little movie night on Monday on Labor Day. And originally that was supposed to happen on Saturday, but it was like.
It was raining.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we ended up not doing it, but
that was the main issue.
But it was cool.
We just couldn't. Yeah. And then we got together and
it worked surprisingly well. You know, one of the things that we didn't film was the projector or the reel, the extension cord reel. So I took a shop light, you know, one of those orange wheels or reels that you can hang up in your shop, and then you plug it in, and then you can draw out a retractable 20-foot long, you know, extension cord that has a light on the end of it. And so we were trying to think about how to do something like that, and we're like, well, you know, that type of thing doesn't really exist. You can get extension cord reels that you have to then hand reel back up, and I was like, we were both saying how it'd be cool to have something that could just pull in or pull out, you know, like automatically, mm-hmm. and
like a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Like a vacuum. You're like, you want to be able to pull out the mail end so you can drag it across and plug it in somewhere. And and so we had some other ideas of putting in like just little L-shaped brackets to be able to wrap an extension cord around so you could, you know, keep it inside or whatever. And then we're like, look in, and I just like look across the shop, and I see that the cord reel with the light, which I don't ever use. I got it at a yard sale for like $5 or something. And it's just not ideal for my shop, and I've never been able to find a way to be able to like hang that light in a way that points at the where I want it, because it always just has like a hook on top and you can like hang it up, but then it's like aiming random spots, you know, like so I never use it. So I was like, well, what about that? I was like, I could just switch the male and female end, because the short end was the male end and the long end was basically the female, which had the light on the end of it. And I was like, well, what if I cut off the light and cut off the male end on the other side and switch them? So I put the female end on the short side and the male end on the long side. So then you kind of drag it out and plug it into a wall, and it worked perfectly. I double checked it with a couple of my buddies who know more about electricity than I do. And they were like, right. And even you know, we were talking about like, well, it's just one cord with, you know, three or four wires. It's got, you know, a power, you know, a ground, and then whatever the other one is, you know what I mean? Like there's a hot, hot, and then there's a ground or whatever. Like, so as long as it's not a one way cord, and you know, electricity doesn't work like that. It works in a loop, you know, as long as everything's hooked up correctly, you should be good to go. So I just like got like really nice kind of low profile black male and female ends from Home Depot for a couple bucks or Lowe's or something. I forget what it was. And hooked them up. Worked perfectly. That was super cool.
Yeah, it looks legit.
Yeah, cool. So to be able to just drag it out and plug it in, it was really cool. And it, like, you know, it sat on the ground, which I think your yard and where we set it up is probably like the max like angle of a yard you would ever
grade.
Do it in.
Right.
You know, you have like got like a 5 or 9% grade on your hill. You know,
it's pretty steep.
And we just set the box down, and it was perfect.
If trucks were to drive down it, you'd need a sand ramp.
Yeah. to slow you down at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we put it down on it, and sure enough, it's like, you know, leaning over pretty good, but we had the tripod head to be able to adjust the projector, and it worked perfectly. It was really, really
which
cool.
was a part of the figuring.
Yeah.
We're figuring that was like, I was thinking so much, like I was looking for legs that could be adjustable, like a tripod, or maybe just take tripod legs. And then, but then you'd be lifting up and down. And,
the whole box,
locking.
Right? Yeah.
And then we just kind of said, and then I was looking for just like tripod and tripod heads. And there were so many of those online that you could just get the head. And I know that's separate from the sticks below. But then I looked for an old camera one I had that I got at a yard sale or something for like $10 or $5. And that worked great. We had to do a few adjustments, but that was such a simple thing you have to have a couple people talking about it and then thinking about it, like, oh, just put the tripod head on top of the box and then it can be any angle you want.
And it does. You just set the box down where you want and you make your little slight adjustments to the projector and you're good to go. And it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It worked great. In like 2 minutes, we had everything lined up, everything. And the Cosmos Max auto focuses, which is sweet. You push a button and adjust, and it's super sharp. And we watched some YouTube videos and some stuff and a little bit of like Jurassic Park just to get some footage of it. But it's great. It's such a cool thing. Hopefully we have some more nights up before the year's over. We'll try to get some in. If not here, there's some things going on. I'm probably moving somewhere and there's some things, but we'll definitely find a spot. Luckily, we have a movie theater in a box, so we can go anywhere we go.
Doesn't matter where we go. Yeah, you just have to figure. You just have to have a blank wall to project it on, and then you're good to go. Or at least close to it, you know, that you can hang your screen on.
Right. So. Yeah.
Yeah, it does work really well. I was pleased with it. Talking about figuring, it kind of reminds me of something that would make a cool T-shirt or sticker, you know, or something like that. Like
figuring.
Yeah, figuring. Like just... That's kind of like something you got to do when you're a maker. You got to spend some time figuring what is happening. How do you solve this problem?
Right.
You're like, you got to, you know, and I had someone commented on our most recent video that we just put up, which is the sling, the hatchet sling for Corinne's hatchet. And they were saying how they really like seeing the drawing, you know, that it was like a really well done drawing. It really showed. And I had to do that drawing to figure out what I wanted to do. You know, I had the idea in my head. Sometimes, and I've talked about this before, sometimes you have the idea, you can see it, or it's like just an iteration off of another idea you've done, and so you don't really need to work it out too much. But with that one, I knew I was going to be building, you know, the adjustable strap and all the, like everything I had to, I needed to flesh it out, right? I needed to have a figure in session. To figure out what it had to look like. And I think that was something that we did on this project was that. I thought that would be kind of fun. And maybe that would be kind of an interesting thing to make into a sticker or something. Somehow use that wording or something, just because I think that is something that we all do as makers.
Figuring.
Yeah, figuring. You know, like, just like, I don't know, like in quotes or in like in a thought bubble or something, you know, or something like that. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
We have our other one, which we've talked about on this podcast quite a few times, and you devised it, the maker switch. Where we talked about the maker switch, and then you came up with the idea, which we've come up with a few different design drawings of that, and I think that we should do that, make a sticker out of that, and then make some AOC stickers. So when we go to Maker Camp, which is less than a month away now, or about a month away, I should say.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we'll have those, and we can give them out to some people. And one of the things that was just kind of introduced as something that people could participate in if they want to at Maker Camp is the Maker Camp Maker Swap. And basically, it's just an organized craft swap where if you want to participate, you just basically let them know that you're going to participate, and you make something, and then you go to Maker Camp, and you... give it to the organizers, and then they'll collect everything, and then the next day they basically give everyone something who turned something in. So you don't know who you're going to get. You're going to get somebody's going to make something that you're going to get as long as you participate and you know, put in something that you made. So I think that's a really cool idea.
I did see a little bit about that. There's no like, I guess you can't really put a price on like handmade items.
Right.
You could.
That was one of the things, like, you know, this is, it's, you know, Maker Camp is like any other convention. It's where people who are really interested in that type of stuff are going to go, you know, so their interest lies in making things that are cool. So basically the directive was to make something that's cool. You know, this is like your chance to showcase what you do. So make it cool, you know, like put some time and effort into it. So I had a few ideas of what I could make. The one thing that they were mentioning was like people are going to be like flying here and traveling. And so you want to make something that's small enough that can go into like a carry-on. And in my mind, as soon as they said that, I was like, damn it. That's like all the stuff that I'd want to make, or not all of it, but a lot of the stuff that I'd want to make are like sharp, dangerous things that you can't put in a carry-on and take with you on a plane. You know, but you were like, well, yeah, whatever. Like, a lot of people are just going to be driving. Like, you might as well. And so I do think I'm going to make something, and I'm trying to debate on what that is. I'm debating on what that is in my mind, what it is. But it'll probably be something sharp and pointy of some sort.
Right.
You know, we have, like, the marking knives we made recently, which I think that'd be cool, because I think a lot of people at Maker Camp will, you know, or woodworkers, or at least are in a situation where they need to mark some type of wood at some point when they're, you know, measuring and cutting and things. Maybe something like that.
Well, that would be good.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
Maybe the maker knife, which I made, you know, like the shop maker knife, which had the ruler on the back, on the spine. That would be cool.
Oh,
that
yeah.
might be pretty sweet. But I'm also, like, inclined to make a bushcraft axe just because I love making them, and that's something that I think our channel's known for. You know, do a modification bushcraft axe with like a vintage handle, and so we'll see. I'm not sure. Either way, like it'll be something cool, but it'll probably be one of those three things because I could make, you know, I could make like a mallet, or I could make something, you know, more decorative out of wood or metal, but you know, I don't know. I just feel like the things that I like to make and that I want to give someone to have something that I've made are things that are like axes and knives. So maybe that's what I'll do. And then if someone's flying somewhere, you know, we'll offer to mail it to them or something.
Yeah, I think a marking knife would be really cool.
Yeah, I do too.
Because that's a lot of people don't, well, they do, but not people don't necessarily have a built purpose marking knife.
Right.
Right? They either have one that they use, or maybe they do.
Right.
Or maybe they have something, but it's something, all these people have knives.
Right. Yeah.
And they will all have knives that they probably are going to love more than what you'll give them, or they'll use more because they have a skeletal or something, or something with a clip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you give them a specific thing, like, hey, you use it for this.
Right.
And out of a file, I think that's cool. Yeah. The repurpose thing. It looks really cool. I think that'd be a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think that's, I don't know. It's something that I'd be like, there's a precision and a skill that goes along with, you know, grinding and shaping and, you know, making something like that, that I would feel confident giving that as the thing that I made that I'm proud of. You know, like, even though it's not a super hard thing to make, but to make it like clean and do it well takes some time and some effort. And so, you know, I'd feel confident of that. That was the thing. I was like, well, you got to make something that is, you know, you feel like you put enough time and effort into it. So that way, if you get someone else's thing and they've like put, you know, 100 hours of labor into this thing and you're like, I spent like 10 minutes making this, or, you know, a couple hours or something, you're like, but everyone has their thing. Like, everyone can do something that not everyone else can do. Right. And so that's the thing. So it's not necessarily the like hours of time you put into it, but it's the hours and hours and hours of experience that you've built up to give you the ability to make this thing at this point in however long it takes you. Right. So it's all that time and effort and your knowledge put into it. You know,
it'd be cool. Cause we're talking about hours and I mean, we just did like cardboard covers for now.
Yeah.
On our marking knives, but we did talk about just a short little leather sheath, just like you did for Nicole for her little knife.
Yeah.
For my, it'd be kind of cool. What if you did that? Cause that doesn't take long. Right. And did the leather tie down to the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's like a cap.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, if they think that gets in the way, then you can untie it anyway.
Right.
And you can just have the sheath on its, the little, you know, the leather sheath on its own. But if you maybe tied it to it, then it's one thing. You could store it like that and you pop it off like a Sharpie. You do it and then pop it back.
Or maybe
on.
It has like a Jim Brown knob, you know, that's kind of just like a doorknob, basically a small version of a little teeny doorknob that you can use to like close over by just pushing like a hole through the leather over that. But instead of using that, I do a little Jim Brown thing, and then I do like an elastic, like a shock cord type thing at the end of the knife that you like just fold down and push over. You know, you just stretch down and clip over the little clip. Or the little like knob, so that way the cap sheath doesn't slide off. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That way, yeah. Then you put your leather sheath on, and you like just use an elastic to hang it on, so that way it can't just pop off. And that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're participating in the Maker Camp Maker Swap, make sure you're using the hashtag Maker Camp Maker Swap on Instagram, because that way we can all see what people are making and, you know, get a little taste of what you might have a chance of getting if you're participating. I know there's a bunch of people who are already participating. So, if you're interested, do that. It'd be fun. And then bring your thing and then, get somebody else's really cool thing. You never know. You might get like a Jimmy Duresta ice pick, you know, or like a Lara Kampf, you know, Leatherman. Cause I'm pretty sure Lara's going to be there, and, you know, who knows, it could be something really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, so hopefully we can, I'm going to kind of probably this weekend do a couple final versions of potential stickers and then get them sent out so I can get those stickers in. So we'll have them to give out to people and exchange and stuff, because that's something that's like super simple, but people love, you know, like people love putting stickers of other people's stuff and showing just that little bit of support, you know, like you just like in a maker's shop, you pan across and you see like somebody's sticker somewhere. Right. And it's that little bit of support, like, you know, we're all here to support each other. So giving out and getting stickers and putting them up, I think, is really fun. And,
yeah, we gotta, either order them or we can do some certain ones. We can do Cricut.
Speaking of that, I meant to ask you this earlier, but how does that work? Like, does the whole head move around like on a four axis or whatever, two axis, like X, Y?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a printer.
But does it just slide back and forth like a printer, like on one axis, or does it move back and forth?
It moves the paper and it moves the sheet, the paper. Gotcha.
So the paper is moving and the whole, so mm-hmm. the cutter head can move X, Y.
So actually I think the cutter head, yes, I think it moves short movements, but side to side's long, cause it looks like a printer, and back and forth a little bit, but it does, it shifts the paper
over and
the
back.
The cutting surface. Yeah. It has a cutting surface you stick it to and that goes around.
Okay.
So you need room behind the printer and in front of it because the whole thing shifts back.
So does the whole bed that shift, does that shift X and Y? So like, you know, left and right and up and down, or does it just shift?
No, just up and down, gotcha. Up and down. And then your cutter moves left and right. Left or right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's how you get the four directions. That's how you get the X, Y, is the bed moves one way forward and back and the head moves left and right. Okay. Right. That's cool.
Yeah. So it can keep it compact. The whole thing's only, you know, 5 inches wide.
Right.
Or, you know, it's wide, but, you know, the other way, the other direction, it's very slim.
Yeah, it's only 5 inches deep, but it's, but it can
But you need room on either side. But if we wanted to do a short run of certain stickers, we could do that, because I can get a whole 5-foot by 12-inch sheet of vinyl stick paper.
Right.
And we could cut out a million, or not, you know, we could cut out 50 or 100 for 10 bucks or whatever we wanted.
Right. I wonder, but would it be just a positive, like a negative positive image?
It depends. Yeah, it depends what you want to cut.
Right. I guess you can like do two stages.
And you can, and you can change it. And it does it good too, because it gives you, it doesn't cut straight through the vinyl. It recognizes what you're using.
Right.
And doesn't cut all the way through the sheet.
Right.
So the sticker I had still had the bottom on it. I peeled it off. Everything else was left that was in the negative space.
The piece of paper was still on. Yeah.
But the paper was still there. Right. So you're not pulling it right off the thing and having to use it right away. You can cut them.
Right.
And it's still ready to go.
Okay. All right. That
might be kind of don't necessarily see what the sticker will be, though, which is kind of...
Right.
It would look like a black sheet of nothing, kind of. You'd see the cutout, but it wouldn't... Or, you know, you could... I mean, we could...
I do like the idea.
Take off the extra area.
Yeah, like it'd be kind of cool to make a stencil, you know, to make something that people could use as a stencil. You know, like, again, like the Duresta, you know, the name Duresta, you know, like,
have
a stencil, then people could use it and like spray paint something, you know, like spray a little logo on, you know, something. That'd be kind of cool. And that would be cool too, to like make some stencils, because then instead of having to put stickers on anything, you know, if we make the, like, AOC stencil, we can stencil that onto different things, like in the shop and whatnot, you know. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Could that cut through, like, cardstock, like something a little thicker?
Yeah, it does cardstock. Okay. That's its main.
Oh, yeah.
Its
because it's, scrapbooking and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think, its thickest, it can cut, like, through, like, faux weather and, faux leather and like balsa wood, but it has to be real thin stuff, and you need to buy a different cutter head. But cardstock, it's really good at.
That's cool. Nice. I like it. Yeah, Drew and Steph have one as well. Drew's used it to cut out and to do the iron-on transfers for like shirts and stuff for our sailing crew gun. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, how'd those iron ones turn out? They're okay?
Yeah, they're great. They look awesome. I think the permanence of them is based off of user skill rather than, you know, the product. Yeah. Because like with our shirts, we have the word in our font across the front, what's it called? Blade Runner, the Blade Runner font. So we have the word gun in the Blade Runner font, large across the front of the shirts. And on the back is a drawing, you know, like an elevation drawing of our boat, you know, so the whole thing. So like an actual like design drawing of the boat on the back. And because that was really a lot of really thin lines, like, you know, the mast and all the like different lines and the headstay and forestay and things, those lines, like on my shirt, a lot of them have just come off, like the adhesive is wore off, or the there's like a layer of adhesive and then a layer of plastic super thin together, and when you like iron them, they all bond together. But if you don't iron it, you don't have enough heat on it, or you don't do it long enough, you know, then there's a chance of it, you know, not holding well. So some of my lines have come off, but I think that's again because we were using like a synthetic, you know, like active wear shirt, and Drew was concerned that if he did it too long, he'd just start melting the shirt, you know? So he's like, you know, so some of those things have come off, but otherwise they look awesome. Like, he did an awesome job. He lined everything up really well and they look great. As a, you know, a good solution.
So yeah.
It was fun. And, you know, something that's one of those things that, we've done for a while with our sailing crew is to have shirts that everyone can wear. That's the same one. You know, you have your team jersey basically. And, and not a lot of other sailing teams do that. You know, when you see, like when you get up into the more professional levels, of course they do, right? Everyone has the same thing on, but for like weekend races and stuff, not a lot of people do. So we always feel it, you feel good to have that because you feel like you're part of something and you feel like that you stand out a little bit more. So, you know, whether or not like, you're like me or Drew or Charles and we own the boat, or you're the crew and you know we all feel like you're part of it, you know, it's like that's our boat. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one of those fun things that we like to do is to have those shirts, and they're so easy to do, you know. And I got like 8 or 10 shirts from Walmart for $5 a piece or something, so it's not like we're spending a ton of money. But and yeah, the other thing too is that if you're interested in getting something like that, like if we wanted to get AOC shirts or, you know, or other AOC shirts, like we do it through Teespring. But there are lots of different places online that you can send in things to have shirts done for, you know. And now everything is like you can do small batch. You could do 10 or you could do 5 or whatever you want, you know. And you just send them in and they'll make them for you. So pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. Well, I think we're good. I think it's late and we're trying to, you know, figure out how to fit all this stuff in. Another one of those things, like being busy and trying to do as much stuff as we can and trying to push. And, you know, so for those of you listening, it is, it's 11:44 PM on Thursday night. If you'll be listening on Friday, it's going to come out tomorrow at 4:00 in the morning. and cause that's when I always have to set the time for, but I'll be editing. Usually it takes me about an hour and a half or so to edit afterward. But yeah, I know you texted me a couple of days ago and you're like, well, I work on Wednesday and Thursday, both late, you know, working the Orioles game. So like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we were originally going to aim for last night, but you didn't get home until like 11:30 and I had been like asleep on the couch for an hour by that point. So I was like, we're going to have to wait. And my buddy Sean.
Oh, we got it done.
He was like,
He was
like, you know, if you need me to help record at any point, just let me know. I'm happy to join you. So it's good to have a backup just in case, you know, have something to chat to. But we made it work out, and it was fine. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I'll do a quick recommendation, right, which is cheating a little bit, but is the Cricut Maker 3. I think it's just called the Cricut Maker, which we've been talking about, and it's been used and blah, blah, blah. I didn't think it would be able to cut such, like, really intricate details. Right. Something way sharper than a human hand or, you know, I'd say 95% of human hands could do, you know, cleanly. Right. And just for decorations, like if you're going to do a lot of this stuff and have decorations for parties or birthday parties, you got kids, I think it's worth it. I think since there's a new one coming out, this one was under $300. And if you just go on like Etsy or a couple other places and try to buy like custom banners and stuff. They're expensive, like, you know, anywhere from $50 to $100 for something like that.
Right.
And I understand it takes time and maybe it's worth the money if you don't want to do it. But again, There's your maker switch.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn it on. Get this tool if you think you can use it. And I also was thinking, I was like, oh, there's some stuff we can do for Art of Craftsmanship that we could also use it for. And you just got to buy the paper and stuff. But it's really impressive what it can do and how sharp it can cut. And it's pretty slick. So there you go. Nice. If you're thinking about getting one, I think it's worth it if you have that type of mindset, or somebody wants to do some crafting or make decorations or stickers and stuff like that. It's pretty slick.
Nice. Yeah, right on. I think, like I said, I think what you said is if you're into like crafting at all and you want to make some of your own stuff, it's worth it to get something like that. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other thing, when you have something like that, then you'll make more things with it. I mean, I guess that's with any tool, right? When you have it, then you're like, oh, well, yeah. I have this tool now. I can do these things. You know, your mind, it's like when you buy a new car or you get a different car, and then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere, right? It's because it's on your mind.
Right.
So
right.
When something like that's on your mind, if you're inclined to making things anyway, and then you have it, then you're like, then you make more stuff. So
just push your creativity. I think people will be getting Cricut cards for the rest. I already gave one to
Corinne for her birthday. That was awesome.
To Corinne. They're cool. You know, you cut out the negative space and you put a nice colored piece of paper and it looks real artisanal. It's very nice. So
yeah, they look great. And it's like super professional looking, obviously, because it's a computer aided, you know, cutter. It's going to be like perfectly clean every time, as long as long as there's no, you know, technical difficulties. So yeah, it looks great.
Right.
All right. Well, my recommendation this week is Tiger Lily Company, which is Jason Knight's daughter, Tiger Lily, and she is a knife maker and an awesome knife maker. She learned really well from her dad and does these beautiful integral hunters and chef's knives and you know, just beautiful work. Really clean designs, like all hand forged and then handmade, and beautiful handles. Everything she does is really nice. So you can check her out on Instagram. Her Instagram name is TigerLily_CO_. So Tiger Lily Company. Yeah, check it out. It's beautiful work. There have been a couple. There's a few times that she was on Jason Knight's YouTube channel with him, like making some stuff, which is really cool. Watching them work together, both his son and daughter are both makers. Like, I know his son, I think it's Tristan, I think his name is. He does, you know, he does all sorts of knives and swords as well. But Tiger Lily makes some really beautiful, like really functional knives, and I think that she is. She was down in Tennessee with her dad, and then she moved up to Alaska with the DeRosiers, Adam and Haley DeRosiers, who are also other really awesome knife makers and friends and maybe students and / just companion makers of Jason Knight. So she was up there for a while too, so I'm not sure if she's back in Tennessee or if she's still in Alaska, but just doing awesome stuff, making really beautiful blades. So check her out on Instagram, TigerLily_CO_. And there Sweet. You go. All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much for listening. It looks like we've hit about right about an hour, which is where we were at last week. So it worked out perfectly. Again, we really appreciate everyone who listens and comments and lets us know and shares it and spreads the word. It really makes a difference. And it's just fun to know that people are out there hanging out and listening. And apparently, if you sit in a room and talk to yourself enough, you start to feel like there are people listening to you, whether you're in the room by yourself or they're out there, which is just a weird thing to think about. So we know you're out there. We know you're listening. We really appreciate it. And thank you guys all so much. You can, again, follow us both on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And you can go over to Patreon, support us there, which is just awesome support for the channel and for the podcast, and maybe help to pay for us to go to Maker Camp for the, you know, the entire weekend as well. So, your support really it means a lot and it makes a difference. So thank you guys all so much. That's it. Thank you, Devin. I appreciate you joining me this week. Back to it. And we'll talk to you guys all next week. We have a fun guest who's going to be joining us. So keep your ears peeled. All right, guys, have a great one. We'll talk to you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.